chapter 3. First Corinthians chapter 3. We've been going through the book of 1 Corinthians on Sunday morning, and we will conclude chapter 3 today. Last time we were here, we looked at how God will examine our labors, and God will examine our life. This morning we pick up in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 18, and we'll finish down through verse number 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 18. Follow along, if you would, in your Bible as I read aloud. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 18. The Bible says here, "Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's." Beginning in verse 18, he said, "Let no man deceive himself." I want to preach a message this morning. Be not deceived. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Now, Father, again, we thank you for your word. Father, as we go through it, God, we don't dictate to you what we're going to preach on. You dictate to us. And God, we always see how amazing you are, Father, how you give us what we need for every hour and every time. And Lord, I pray as we look at your word this morning that, Father, you would open our hearts and help us to let your holy eyes look upon our lives. And Father, show us ourselves where we're being deceived by the world and the philosophy that's around us. God, we're surrounded. We are overwhelmed. And Father, we are so drowning in the philosophy of this world that, God, sometimes we don't even recognize where we're at. We're either bobbing at the top of the surface or, Father, well below the surface. And God, we don't even spot it. So, Father, help us today as we read Paul's admonition to this church not to be deceived, that, Father, you would show us how to keep ourselves from being deceived, and, Father, how to cleanse ourselves once we have been deceived. So, Father, bless your word. We're thankful that it's sufficient to teach us everything we need to know. It's the mind of God to us today. We pray, should there be one today that does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, God, they're headed to hell. They're never going to experience eternal life. They're never going to see heaven. They're not going to have all the benefits that the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross to give them. And so, Father, I pray today you'd help them to see their lost condition and to trust and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. For we that are saved challenge us from your word to do those things pleasing in your sight. For we ask it in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. In these verses in 1 Corinthians, again, Paul is writing to the divided church at Corinth. We saw that from the beginning of chapter 1, that there are schisms and divisions going on in the church. And in verse number 16, notice he wrote about their dwelling. He said, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God," verse 16, "and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." He wrote about their dwelling. If you're saved here this morning, the difference between you and everybody else is the Spirit of God is living inside of you. Folks, that's something that can't be counterfeited. You don't get the Spirit of God in you because you walk into the church. You don't get the Spirit of God in you because you get dunked down in a baptismal tank. You don't get the Spirit of God in you because you try to live a good life or try to keep the Ten Commandments. The only way you get the Spirit of God in you is by trusting Jesus Christ as Savior, which the Bible defines as being born again, being born from above. And Jesus said, when you do that, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. So I hope and trust, I can't see it, but when I look out among this congregation, I hope I'm looking at a multitude of people that the Spirit of God dwells in you. And I would say to you, if you're not saved here this morning, we can't tell from the outside, but God knows by looking at your heart whether His Spirit is there or not. And the Bible said if a man doesn't have the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. So Paul told this church, there's a dwelling, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Then in verse 17, he talked about defiling. In verse 17, he said, if any man defile the temple of God. All right, God's living inside of you, that makes your body a temple. Paul said, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now the problem is what you do with that body can either affect positively or negatively the Spirit of God that's in you. If the Spirit of God's in you, that Spirit is holy. And what is inside you is holy. Wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you listen to, whatever you look at, whatever speaks out of your mouth is coming from a temple in which the Holy Spirit dwells. And when we allow filthiness and wickedness and ungodliness, you know, somebody says, well, I think, you know, just live the life you want to live. That's not, you didn't get that in the Bible. The Bible tells us that we ought to give lives that give honor and glory to God. The Bible tells us that we should not defile the temple. So it does matter how we dress. It does matter what we say. It does matter what we watch. It does matter what we... It does matter because Paul said, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Now, it doesn't mean he's going to kill you. It means your life's going to be a mess. It means your effectiveness for Christ is going to be worthless. And so he talks about dwelling. He talks about defiling. And then this morning we get down to verse 18, which will take us from 18 to verse 23, and he talks about deceiving. Notice in verse number 18, let no man deceive himself. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, don't defile, don't be deceived. And he talks in verse 19, he says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. The thing that is, that we're so prone to deception in, the subject of deception for the believer, is the foolishness of this world. The wisdom in this world is foolishness with God. They call it wisdom, but God calls it foolishness. Here's the anomaly. The ways of this world, God calls foolishness. The ways of God, this world calls foolishness. And I trust you know that by experience. If you don't, you've heard it. You know that if you try to live for God and live clean and do right to this world, that's foolish. To believe that there's a God in heaven that you're going to have to give an account to one day, to this world, that's foolish. To believe that you ought to not do some things that will defile you and you should do some things that would give praise and glory to God to this world, that's foolish. See, the world says live every day to the best you can. Live it all to your own glory, to your own benefit. And so the ways of this world, God calls foolish. The ways of God, this world calls foolish. One of the best examples of that is simply the reality of God. According to worldly wisdom, if you believe in God, you're a fool. As far as the world's concerned, if you believe that there's a God that created the world in 6 days, if you believe that Moses and the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea and then Pharaoh's army drowned in it, if you believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale and lived in its belly, for you know what? To the world, that's foolishness. You've probably heard this, but a young man graduated from high school, and he's a Christian young man, went off to a state university, and first day in philosophy class, of course, the teacher wanted to flush out all the Christians and find out who they were. And those guys are good at doing stuff like that. And so he made a couple comments, and one young man that was a Christian spoke up and said, well, the guy said, now, he said, there's some people that believe in these miracles. They believe that Moses crossed the Red Sea and the Egyptians were drowned in it. They believe these different miracles, that Jesus walked on the water and bid Peter to come out. They believe that, he said, now, I hope nobody in this class is foolish enough to believe all that silly stuff. And the young man raised his hand and said, well, sir, I've been taught that and I believe that. And so he knew he had somebody on his hands now he could ridicule, he could make fun of. He said, you mean to tell me you believe all that nonsense that's in the Bible? He said, well, yes, I don't understand it all, but I believe it all. He said, you mean to tell me that you believe there was a man that was thrown overboard into a great storm and a fish came up from the bottom and swallowed him alive and whole and took him back down for 3 days and then came up later and spit him up on the ground? You believe that? And he said, well, yes, sir, I believe that. He said, you've got to be a fool to believe that. He said, well, I know it's difficult to believe, and when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah about that. And the professor said, well, what if you get to heaven and Jonah's not there? And he said, well, then you ask him. See, the wisdom of God to this world is foolishness, and the wisdom of this world to the believer is foolishness. And Paul is writing to the church here at Corinth and saying the two are diametrically opposed. Now, Paul didn't use those big $50 words, but he's basically saying these two things are at odds against each other and they cannot get along. And you understand, again, I emphasized this before. When we talk about the wisdom of the world, we're not talking about the world's technology. We're not talking that we need to reject, you know, the technology of the world. We're not talking about auto mechanics. We're not talking about electronics. We're not talking about educational things like that. But we're talking about the philosophy of this world. The psychological mentality of this world, the attitude of this world. That's what Paul's saying is in direct contradiction to God. And yet, as believers, too many times we're getting swallowed into it without even realizing that it's happening. And so Paul addresses that deception here in verse 18 down to verse 23. Let's look at it briefly here this morning. First of all, in verse 18, Paul gives the command. He gives the command in verse number 18. Let no man deceive himself. That's a command. Let no man deceive himself. See, there's a problem with deception. You know what the problem with deception is? You don't spot it. If you could spot it, it wouldn't be deception. Now, I don't want to pick on used car salesmen or anything like that this morning. But sometimes you don't know you're getting deceived until you've already signed on the bottom line. But deception is that way. If it was obvious, it wouldn't be deception. If it was notable, it wouldn't be deception. And we live in a world that's full of deception. And Paul's addressing not the things like that, but Paul's addressing the areas in which Christians are not even aware of the deception that's out there. If you're not aware, you're gullible. If you're not aware, you're going to be taken. Brother Kevin has told me, since I picked on him already, I'll do it. He said, when he goes and buys a car, nobody's going to pull one over on him. He knows every trick there is. All right, when you're aware of deception, when you're aware of things, then you're not so easily betrayed or tricked in or brought into something. And Paul is trying to tell this church, be not deceived. Look, if you would, over 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He said, let no man deceive himself. And Paul writes three times and says specifically, be not deceived. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? You know, there's some folks that don't know that. They've been deceived and thinking, well, it doesn't matter how you live. It doesn't matter what you do. You read in the paper all this time, they're saying, well, these people are homosexual. They've come out of the closet, whatever they are. They're gay, but they're Christian. You're being deceived. The Bible says right here, know you not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. There's the words right there. Makes it clear, crystal clear. I'm glad the Bible does that. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. There's homosexuality. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. You say, what does that mean? It means simply this, practically. When you talk to someone and say, are you a Christian? And they say, yes, I am. And their life is a mess, and their life is wicked, and their life is ungodly. Be not deceived. Apparently they are. And that's what Paul said. Let no man deceive himself. Paul said, be not deceived. They are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Look in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Paul uses those words again. Be not deceived. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. And he starts the verse with those three words. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. Be not deceived. What? Evil communications corrupt good manners. So what does that mean? Communications in the Bible mean more than just your verbal communication. It means your lifestyle. It means the way you live. And the Bible said that evil communications corrupt good manners. It's simply this. You take the good apple and you put it in the middle of a barrel of bad apples. And the good apple does not make the bad apples good. The bad apple makes the good apple bad. That's what that verse is talking about. You can have good manners. You can be good in your upraising. You can be good in your training. You can be good in your teaching. You can be good in your home. And then you go out into this world, and if you're not careful to not be deceived, evil communications are going to corrupt your good manners. Many a young person has been raised in a Christian home and then gone off on their own and getting overwhelmed and swallowed up by the philosophy of the world around. And Paul says, be not deceived. The one you're most familiar with, the last one, look at Galatians chapter 6. Most of you will know what this one is before we even get there. But Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7, again, be not deceived. Paul is telling us, be aware. The world is trying to deceive you. Be aware of these things. If you're aware of them, you won't be deceived. If you're ignorant of them, you're gullible. If you're ignorant of them, you're going to be taken. Be not deceived. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The law of sowing and reaping. You reap to the flesh, you'll reap of the flesh. You sow to God, you'll reap from God. It's just that simple. Don't be deceived. Well, it doesn't matter what I do. Yes, it does. Well, I think a young person should go out and sow their wild oats. It won't, you let them get it out of it. No, it will come back to haunt them. They will pay for it one way or another by either, if not physically, if not circumstances or recompense for it, then emotionally or mentally, years down the line, they will come to regret those things. And they'll never be able to get away from it and get it out of their minds. Many of you did things that you were younger, before you got saved even. And then you get saved, and though it's forgiven, and though it's cleansed, and though it's under the blood of Christ, it hasn't been erased from your memory banks. There's something about that brain, and it's something about the devil that keeps bringing it up over and over again. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, you're not going to beat that system. Paul says, don't be deceived. Be aware of it. You don't have to turn there, but in Titus chapter 3, verse 3, you might want to make note. Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, Paul said, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. That's the way we once were. Paul says, don't be deceived. Let no man be deceived. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, you know the verse. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You go into the Circle K, you go into the restaurant or into the stores, you go there, and you see the guys walking out with the 6-packs, 12-packs, 24-packs, whatever they are. You know what you just say? There's somebody that's deceived. There's somebody right there that doesn't know that you're going to reap what you sow. You say, well, I know a lot of them. They don't get DUIs. No, but they reap what they sow. If not in this life, they're going to reap it afterward. And the Bible said that he that is deceived is not wise. So Paul is giving this church an admonition. The Spirit of God dwells in you. Don't defile it. Don't be deceived. Notice he says at that verse, look back at 1 Corinthians 3 and verse number 18. He said, let no man deceive himself. Now I know the Bible tells us that the devil is a deceiver. And he is. And he's good at what he does. But you know, the devil doesn't have to mess with most people. Because most people deceive themselves. Bible says, "A man think more highly. Let not a man think more highly of himself than he ought to think." You know what that man's problem is? He's got self-deception. He thinks his value is greater than it is. Nobody is irreplaceable. We've lost great men in our history. We've lost great women in our history, and none of them have been irreplaceable. Don't let anybody deceive himself. That's the person of deception. We need to recognize when we're being deceived. And can I tell you the best way to recognize it? How are you going to recognize? How are you going to know if there's something out there that's alluring you that's not sinful, but it's a mentality or it's a worldliness that's not of God? How do you spot it? Can I tell you right now, there's one way, and that's by reading that book every day. That's how you spot it. That's how you recognize the foolishness of this world. When you sit down and read your Bible and you begin to digest it, when you begin to take it in, whether you read 3 chapters a day or whatever it is you're reading, when you get the Word of God in you, something is going on inside that's giving you the ability to spot deception. And the more of that Word you get in you, the better you are at spotting that deception. It's your guidebook. It's your rule book. It's your purity. That's what makes you pure. Nothing you get in this world is going to make you pure. This does. And so when we read it, it helps us to spot the deception that's out there. A preacher's job is to preach like this and make you aware of some of that deception. That's good. That's our job to do it. But how do we know what's deceiving? Only by comparing the wisdom of this world to the wisdom of God. It's the Word that helps us to spot deception, and that's the Word that helps us to correct deception. The Bible says, by the washing of the water by the Word. Folks, there's no replacement for the Bible in your life. And yet so many times we're guilty of neglecting it. We'll start our day with the Daily Jeffersonian and put the Bible off till later. What have we just opened ourselves up to? Deception. We'll start with the news on television and get that in the morning before we get anything else. What have we just opened ourselves up to? Now, I'm not saying you're ignorant. I'm not saying you're not well-taught or well-learned, but I'm just saying when we go to that for our information and we don't go to the Word of God, we are setting ourselves up to be deceived because the foolishness of the world is all around us. And it's deceptive because we don't know we're being deceived by it. And so Paul gives them a command, let no man deceive himself. Then secondly, he talks about the cause of the deception in verse number 18. He said, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world. There's the cause of deception. Those that seem to be wise in this world. The experts. That's the cause of the deception. The talking heads, as we might call them in our day. The fellows we listen to on the radio or that we listen to on the television that dissimulate to us the information that we're accumulating to know. When we accept it from them and it's contrary to the Word of God, we are getting the wisdom of this world without even realizing it. I know there's liberal side and there's conservative side. I drove to Columbus the other day to go see Bob, and as I'm going there, I get out of the reach of ESPN radio, the safe stuff. Just talk about the scores and the sports. Don't give me your philosophy. And I get too far away, I can't listen. So I turn on 610 AM. And if you know 610 AM in Columbus, that's Rush Limbaugh. I'm all for his conservative side, but that man's advice is no more godly than anybody else's is. When it comes to philosophy, when it comes to the worldview, he's just as lost as the next guy is. We need to be careful where we're getting our information. And I'm not talking about we know the conservative liberal. We know the God side from the other side. But those that we think that are wise in this world, we need to be careful, especially of that information, because we're guilty of absorbing it because he's not the bad guy. And I don't just mean that guy. I mean everybody. We've got to be careful of that. Paul gives them the cause. But from those that seem to be wise in this world. Look back at chapter 1 and verse 20 and notice what he said. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? If you don't know God, you don't know wisdom. If a man doesn't know God, he doesn't know wisdom. It doesn't matter how many degrees he's got behind his name. Men die by degrees. And it doesn't matter how much acclamation they get from this world. It doesn't give them the wisdom of God. You can have something they don't have in 12 years of formal education. You can have by the Word of God. You can have the right thing. The worldly philosophy. You know how the world does it? They always twist it and put their terminology on it. Right now, it's marriage equality. Well, you know what marriage equality means? It means any man should get to marry any woman that he wants to if they're in love with each other. That's marriage equality. But that's not what the two terms mean today. And what they want them to mean is that any man should be able to marry any man and any woman should be able to, well, wait a minute, what about any man that wants to marry any two women that he wants to? That's marriage equality. Oh, no, we're not talking about that. Well, then your philosophy's wrong. Your words are wrong. You're being hypocritical. You're being deceptive. Paul said, be careful. Be careful. When they talk about killing the life that's inside of a woman's womb, we say we're pro-life. We're pro-life. That's nothing wrong with that statement. But you know what the other side says? We're pro-choice. That's a careful choice of words to be deceptive. Why don't you just say, well, you're pro-life and we're anti-life? Well, no, that doesn't sound good. So you find the right terminology to make it deceptive. And a bunch of young people are walking around that, I mean, dumber than a doornail, and it's not that they're... Not that they're dumb, but this philosophy of the world overwhelms them, and their peer group overwhelms them, and they get sucked in without even realizing it. Paul said, be not deceived. Let no man deceive himself. There's the cause. Those that seem to be wise in this world, watch out who you read. Watch out who you listen to. Watch out who you take advice from. It needs to come from the Word of God. So Paul gives us the command and the cause. Number three. He gives us the countering. The countering. All right, don't be deceived. Spot it. What do you do? How do you resist it? How do you fight against it? The countering here in verse number 18. If any man seem to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Let him become a fool that he may be... You say, what does that mean? That means the college professor that's sitting there telling that young fellow, you really believe Jonah? You really believe that guy was swallowed by a whale 3 days? You know what? If that guy would get saved, he'd become a fool. a fool for Christ. And there's no greater, I mean, everybody's somebody's fool. Might as well be a fool for Christ. It doesn't matter. You see the guys in the stands in the middle of winter at the Pittsburgh Steelers game? They got their face painted, what is it, purple or not, whatever, black and, somebody help me. Yellow, gold, yeah, gold, whatever those two colors are, black and gold, all right? They paint their bodies up like that and no shirt on in the middle of winter when it's 20 degrees. That's a fool. But they're willing to be a fool for that which they believe in. I'll give them credit for that. They're going to extremes to be loyal and to be dedicated to the cause that they believe in. If Christians could only be that dedicated to God, He's not going to ask you to take your shirt off, hallelujah. He's not going to ask you to paint yourself up like that. But He's going to ask you to take a stand for Christ. And to this world, that's as foolish as that seems to you and I. See, the world's philosophy is always backwards from God's. What did He say? Let him become a fool that he may be wise. That doesn't make sense in worldly philosophy. You know, the Bible is full of things that don't make sense in worldly philosophy. The Bible tells us, if you want to be filled, then be empty. That doesn't make sense. If you want to be filled, then try to empty yourself. If I want a lot of money, then I'd spend it all and empty my bank account. That doesn't make sense. If you want to be filled, then you've got to be empty. God's talking about our life. If we want to be filled with the wisdom of God, we've got to empty out our flesh and empty out ourselves. That makes sense scripturally. That makes sense in the wisdom of God, but not in the wisdom of this world. The Bible tells us if you want to be strong, you've got to be weak. Paul said, for when I am weak, then am I strong. You and I know what that means. When we depend on our own strength, we're actually weak. When we admit we're weak and depend on His strength, we've got strength. But that's a philosophy that's contradictory to this world. They don't understand it. They don't get it. The wisdom of God and the wisdom of this world are diametrically opposed. The Bible says if you want to be exalted, humble yourself. That's not what the world says. You want to climb the ladder? Climb on every rung and step on everybody you've got to step on to get there on your way up. Don't look back. God says, you want to be exalted? Get down on your knees. Be humble. They're diametrically opposed. I read this yesterday in my Bible reading. If you want to lose your life, or if you want to find your life, you've got to lose it. For whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, he shall find it. That's not what the world says. Prosper. Get the big portfolio. Make the money. Get the position. Get the job. Do all that stuff. God says, no, if you lose your life in mine, I will give you real life. That's diametrically opposed. And then one last one. We need to give in order to get. We need to give in order to get. In Luke it said, give and it shall be given unto you. And again, that's not the world's philosophy. The world's philosophy is that other fellow in the gospel has said, he said, I've got all this money and all these crops. What will I do now? He doesn't say give. He said, let's make bigger barns. Let's have more room to store all this. And the story ends with God saying, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And whose shall these things be? See, the world and God are opposed to each other when it comes to the wisdom. And you and I need to recognize that so that when it appears before us, we know how to spot it. Paul is giving us the countering to that. Too many times as Christians, we're afraid of being called foolish. We're afraid of opening our mouth for the Lord Jesus Christ because it's contradictory to the attitude of this world. Back in the 1950s, there were five men, most of you know the story, that surrendered their lives to go to the Aka Indians as missionaries. The End of the Spear, I believe, is the name of the movie that's been made on that. It's a great movie. We've never shown it in church because they show the Aka Indians dressed like Aka Indians dressed. And I'm always uncomfortable showing that in church because it shows the men with the little loincloth and the bare backsides and the women with the bare from the waist up. And I'm not comfortable with showing groups of people that. But it's a great movie as far as what happened with that missionary story. Those five men that surrendered their life, college buddies that surrendered their lives to go to that unnamed, unreached, unknown tribe, all had promising careers in the business world. They all could have been highly successful, but they gave their life to the cause of missions. They gave their life to go somewhere else. And if you know the story, all five of them were murdered. They were slain. They were martyred by those Indians that didn't understand the white man and his dialect and his language and his flying machines and everything else that went on. And they lost their lives. But they didn't. They gained. One of those men was Jim Elliot, and Jim Elliot is famous for having said this: "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." He gave his life, but he got a crown that's eternal, a crown that's forever. He could have gained more on this world by gaining wealth down here, but he gave that up to gain that. See, that to the world, that's foolishness. To society, that doesn't make sense. And Paul says, we've got to counter that. We've got to understand. We've got to know there's a difference between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. Then notice, if you would, number four, we find the condemning. The condemning in verse number 19. "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." The wisdom of this world, those that think they're so smart in this world, those that think they got the right words to express the right philosophy when it's anti-God, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with this God. The wisdom of this world, folks, does not produce, the wisdom of this world does not produce virtue. It produces vice. The wisdom of this world gets people dirtier and dirtier and dirtier and farther and farther and farther away from God. That's the wisdom of this world. Worldly wisdom leaves God out and is praised by everybody. That athlete, that public figure that takes a name, that speaks out for Christ or speaks out for righteousness or whatever, the rest of the world just jumps on him whole hog. They just bury him for being godly, for being different from the rest of the world. And Paul condemns the wisdom of this world, saying that it's foolishness with God. Evolution is the great example of that. These days, if you don't believe in evolution, there's something wrong with you. Now, it can't be proven, and the theories have replaced one another because they keep finding fault with what they're teaching, and they're trying to still figure it out. But at the same time, if you don't buy into their theories that they know are wrong and can't be proven, there's something wrong with you. The majority is on that side. That's the wisdom of this world. And God says to him, it's foolishness. Notice he says in these verses, verse 19, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For," notice this, "for it is written." And you know what Paul does right there? He quotes the oldest book in the Bible in that verse. He said, "He taketh the wise in their own craftiness." That's Job chapter 5 and verse 13. Now you might say, "Preacher, wait a minute. I thought you said it's the oldest book in the Bible." Job was written before Genesis was. Now I know Genesis takes us back to in the beginning. Moses wrote it. But Job lived before Moses did. Job was believed to be a contemporary of Abraham. So the book of Job was written before the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy were penned by Moses. It's the oldest book in the Bible, and the oldest book of the Bible gives us truth that was good for Paul 3,000 years later. And it's good for us yet today. The Bible will help us to spot deception. He said, "The Lord taketh the wise in his own craftiness." Verse 20, and again, and now he quotes from Psalms. Psalm chapter 94, verse 11. "The Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain." When Paul wants to expose deception, he goes to the Word of God. He goes to the book of Job. He goes to the book of Psalms. Those that in his time were ancient books. Yet he said, well, they're divinely inspired by God, and they'll help you spot deception. The Word of God today is the same thing for you and I. We need to find, like Jesus did on the mountain, being in the wilderness, being tempted by the devil. We need to say, it is written. It is written. And the Word of God will keep us from the foolishness of the wisdom of this world. All right, then notice lastly, if you would, the counsel in verse number 20. Or excuse me, verse 21. The counsel. We've had the command, the cause, the countering, the condemning, and then the counsel. In verse number 21, what is that counsel? "Therefore, let no man glory in men." Let no man glory in men. You know who Einstein is? He's a dead person. So he's the greatest scientist. He's dead. He's gone. Some of the things he's left behind have been improved upon because what he did was good for his day and helped people, but what he did was phased out and it's no good anyway. You know who Darwin was? Well, he's dead. Been dead for a long time. His theories might still be on and they're still trying to improve upon them and postulate them and do that, but he's dead. He's gone. Therefore, let no man glory in men. Why? Verse number 23. Because you're Christ's. There's where your glory ought to be. Don't glory in man. Oh, this guy's so wise. Oh, he's so smart. No, he's not. No, he's not. But that book right there is. I've told you the same thing here from this pulpit time after time after time. Don't ever go out from this church and say, I believe something because Pastor Leafley said so. That's foolish. That's not the wisdom of this world. Don't go out of these doors and say, I believe it because Pastor told me. You better know it's in here. If it's not in here, don't believe it. I would never purposely deceive you. Never purposely. Accidentally? I can't say I couldn't do it. So what do? We go back to this book every time and make sure what we're getting is from here. And if it's not from here, throw it out. If it's not from here, pitch it. If the pastor says something, you say, I don't think that's in the Bible. Well, go and see. If it's not there, then throw it out. Don't get mad at me. Don't get upset. I made a mistake. It's not there. Throw it out and go on with life. You're going to make mistakes too. I hate to tell you that. You're going to make mistakes too. And if everybody gets mad at you every time you do, you're in trouble. So let's just forgive one another. But let's always go back to this for our final authority. Paul said, therefore, let no man glory in men, no matter who. Notice verse 22. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas. Boy, there's some pretty high characters even in the church right there. We talked about them back in chapter 1. Paul, Apollos, and Cephas. Some of the people in the church are saying, well, I'm from Paul. I'm for Apollos. Well, I'm for Cephas. Well, I'm from Christ. The pious ones. Paul said, don't trust any man. Paul said, whether it's me or Apollos or Cephas, no matter who, no matter where, or the world. Be careful of what you get from the world. All men are flawed. All flesh is as grass. Abraham was a great man, but he made some mistakes. Moses was a great man, but he made some mistakes. David was a man after God's own heart, but he made some mistakes. You know what that means? Don't follow them wholeheartedly. Follow the Lord. You know what Paul said? Be ye followers of me. Now, Paul, what did he say? As I also am of Christ. Paul said, you can put me ahead of you and follow me as long as I'm following Christ. But if I'm doing something out of line, let me go. Look at Christ. We need to be careful. We need to take that counsel. Let no man glory in man, no matter who, no matter where, no matter what, in verse 22, whether in life or in death. No matter what, in life or in death. We are more than conquerors to him that loved us, Romans chapter 8. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, not even life or death. But Brother Ginther, the family might have a decision to make here in a few days, whether to hang on or whether to let him go. I wouldn't want that decision for anything in the world. And if Brian should call me, he's a good Christian young man, I've gotten to talk to him. If he should call me and say, Pastor, what should I do? I'll tell him exactly what he should do. I'll tell him he should pray and then make the decision that he's comfortable with. You can't tell somebody what to do in that situation like that. Now for us, with our son Josh, who was in a kind of a similar condition after his surgery, he was laying in the bed. He was dead. He was brain dead. The things were just keeping his life pumping. There was nothing there, no life there. But Bob's able to respond. He's able to look you in the eye. He's able to nod his head. He's able to, I wouldn't want that decision. But you know what? You've got to go to God. You've got to ask. And a wise doctor will tell them the same thing, I hope. A wise doctor, if they say to the doctor, what should we do? You've got to pray. You've got to ask God. You've got to decide what you do. That's where you make that decision. Don't take it in your own hands. Put it in God's hands. See, the world has devalued life. The philosophy of this world has devalued life. And it all began in a courtroom in 1973. It all began with a decision by Supreme Court justices without popular opinion saying, oh yes, we're going to make it legal federally. We're going to make it legal for a woman to go in and kill that quote-unquote unwanted pregnancy. We devalued life. And now our younger generations that have grown up with that mentality have a lesser value on life. And it's affected our society. But they bought into worldly philosophy and not the philosophy that was God. So Paul says, don't glory in man, no matter who, no matter where, no matter what, and finally, no matter when. He says in verse 22, or things present or things to come. Be not deceived. Measure everything by the Bible, by the Word of God. See, now the world will say, oh, that old book, yeah, that's worldly philosophy. Written by a bunch of old Jewish people, that's worldly philosophy. Written by a bunch of men that were trying to promote their values, promote their views, you're nuts. You're absolutely insane. You've never spent 10 minutes or 10 hours reading that book and come away with a conclusion like that. You can't. But that's the wisdom of this world. It's diametrically opposed to the wisdom of God. Paul said, let no man deceive himself. Be not deceived. Go to that book and find out what it says. What about eternal life? Don't be deceived. Somebody says, oh, Buddha is just as good as Christ. Muhammad is just as good as Christ. All ways, all roads get to heaven. All faiths are the same. Presidents will say that. All faiths are the same. They're all leading to the same place. They're all roads going in the same direction. Nonsense. Foolishness. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You say, oh, that's foolishness. Yeah, that's the world's mentality. Choose you this day, Joshua said, whom ye will serve. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.